Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
Praise God, and God is so good. Well, I've been teaching from the book of Colossians. We entitled this series, Complete in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and authority. Now, when you look at that, you are complete in him. The Greek word for complete is pleroo. And it means this, that you are full, you are filled, you are abounding, you are lacking nothing. Praise God. You are liberally supplied, and you are perfect in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I am perfect in Christ Jesus. You are complete. You know what? You have everything you need to do everything God called you to do. You have no lack in any area of your life. Praise God. You ought to say that on a regular basis. I have everything I need to do everything God called me to do. I have no lack in any area of my life. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. You are complete in Christ. You know, and a lot of people don't experience that because they don't believe it and they don't speak it. And you as a believer, you will receive what you believe and speak on a regular basis. So if you don't like what you're receiving, you need to change what you're believing. Change what you're believing, change what you're speaking, and it'll change what you're receiving. Now, as we went through Colossians, we began in Colossians chapter 1, and we talked about our hope in Christ. And Paul says, this hope we heard in the gospel. He said, if you continue in this hope and be not removed away from the hope of the gospel later. And finally, he said, I'm preaching the mystery that has been hidden from ages and generations, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of earth, and the Lord of the grave. And he's talking about that in Colossians 1 and Colossians 2. Jesus is the Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, and the Lord of grave. He has taken up residence on the inside of you. Now, when you as a believer realize who's taken up residence on the inside of you, life just can't be so bad. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians chapter 1. So we talked about that, that Christ is our hope. And then we went in to Colossians chapter 2, and we talked about our authority in Christ. And we talked about how that works when we understand what we've been given in Christ. We have wisdom in Christ. We have a new life in Christ. We're complete in Christ. We're victorious in Christ. And finally, he says, we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody judge you in meat or drink in respect of a holy day. Praise God. In other words, you're the righteousness of God in Christ. And a lot of people don't realize what they've been given in Christ. But when you realize what you've been given in Christ, that enables you to walk in authority. Then in chapter 3, he talks about walking out our new life in Christ. As you have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, he says this in chapter 2, verse 6, so walk ye in him. And then he tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. Put on Jesus. Praise God. Put on Jesus. Put on the new man. Live like who you are. You know what? You live differently when you didn't know who you are. But when you understand who you are, it changes how you live your life. He says this in verse 7 prior to that. In the which you walked sometime when you lived in them. Well, you don't live there anymore. You have a new spiritual address. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So live like who you are. Finally, in chapter 4, he talks about our ministry in Christ. And so I'm going to begin in chapter 4. I'm going to begin at the back at the end of the chapter, and then I'm going to go backwards. Praise God. But he says this in Colossians 4, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you fulfill it. Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary, but you are a minister. If you're born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a minister of the gospel. In fact, when we were talking about healing, you know, the Bible says that believers are to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's not a command just to the fivefold ministry. That's a command to the body of Christ. That's a command to the church. And you are a minister of the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as every person has received the gift, so let him minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold, of the many-sided grace of God, of the many-faceted grace of God. If you've received Jesus, if you've received the gift of salvation, you are a minister of the gospel. You ought to be sharing your testimony of Jesus. You know, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So you ought to be sharing to people around. There are some people that may never come to a church, but they'll listen to you. Praise God, and God will set you up so that you can witness to people and talk to people about Jesus. Praise God, so we all ought to be sharing the gospel. We ought to be, all ought to be telling people about Jesus. Praise God, 2 Corinthians 5 says you're a new creation. It says everything's been made new and all things are of God. And then it says God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's reconciling people to Christ. To tell them that God's not mad at them, but God was in Christ reconciling, making them right with himself. They were at odds with God because of sin, but God reconciled them through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now we're to go and we're to share that message. Be reconciled to God. Praise God. Every born-again believer is a minister. So he says, tell Archippus the ministry which he has received in the Lord. You've received a ministry in the Lord. You need to fulfill it. Now, what is ministry? Let's go back to verse 12. He says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. Epaphras, he's a servant of Jesus. Ministry is this, it's serving Christ through serving others. Right? If you don't serve people, you're not a great minister. See, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to learn how to serve. I remember years ago, we had an evangelist traveling come through our church. He gave a word to this lady and said, your days of serving over. It's time for other people to serve you. It nearly ruined her. Your days of serving are never over. Jesus is the Lord of the church. Jesus is the greatest. He is the head of the church. And Jesus is the greatest servant. And if you want to be Lord of all, you got to be servant. Jesus became a servant and became obedient to death. Because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you need to serve people. You need to love people. And he says this about Epaphras. He says, he's a servant of Christ and he always labors for you. Praise God. Your ministry is no greater than your service to humanity. And whenever you quit serving other people, your ministry is not moving forward. We need to continue to serve people. We need to continue to love people. Praise God. He that will be great among you, Jesus said, let him be servant. Praise God, if you want to be great, be a servant. See how many people you can serve and how many people you can bless. Praise God. Hallelujah. So ministry is serving Christ through serving others. He talks about this in verse 7. He said, all my state shall Tychius declare to you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Tychius is faithful and he's a servant in the Lord. So how do we define ministry? We define ministry as serving Christ through serving others. And your ministry is no greater than your service. Praise God. When you quit serving people, you know what? You're not ministering. Your ministry is really not growing when you quit serving people. So keep serving. Keep loving. Amen. Quit, keep letting Jesus live big through you. Amen. Jesus loved his disciples and Jesus served them. Praise God. We need to keep serving people. So how can we fulfill our ministry in the Lord? Take heed. Archippus, that the ministry you've received from the Lord, in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Now, Aaron taught this a few months ago on Wednesday night, and it was fantastic. So you know what I'm going to do? I stole his notes. Praise God. In fact, I was here and I took them. I didn't ask him for them. I took notes. I take notes. Praise God. And you know, they were so good. I said, I just can't improve on that. I'm just going to preach it. So you can thank Pastor Aaron for this message today. Amen. So how can we fulfill our ministry in the Lord? Let's go back to verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Employers, I want you to treat your employees well. I want you to be good to them. So what's he saying? I want you to invest in people. Now, anybody who's ever invested very much in very many people has been hurt. Jesus, God is the greatest investor, and he gave us Jesus. Jesus invested his life. And you know, Jesus invested his life in the body of Christ. He invested his life in people. And you know, Jesus, we'll read about it. Jesus went all night and he prayed to God. And after he went out all night and prayed to God, he chose 12 of his disciples and called them apostles. And after Jesus went out all night, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, after he went out all night and prayed and chose 12 disciples, one of them betrayed him, Judas. If somebody betrayed Jesus, that means more than likely, if you have very many people that are working for you, somebody is going to betray you. So how do you deal with betrayal? Because sometimes when you love people, when you serve people, when you invest in people, you feel betrayed. And Paul actually talks about this. In fact, if we go to verse 9, he says, with Onesimus, who is a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you in all things which are done here. Who was Onesimus? Onesimus was a runaway slave. He was an employee that left his employer premature. He left his place prior to when he was supposed to leave it. And did you know who was his employer? His employer was Philemon. And Philemon was more than likely, he was a bishop at the church of Colossus, or he was the pastor at the church of Colossus. He was a wealthy businessman. And Onesimus was his employee, and Onesimus left early. He left premature. You see, Philemon had invested a lot in him. And you know what? When you invest a lot in someone, you invest and you put a lot. If you know me, you know that I have invested in people and I love people and I care about people. And sometimes when you've invested a lot in a person and they betray you or you feel like they betrayed you, it's hard to deal with. So we're going to go to Philemon, the book of Philemon. It's found right before Hebrews. It's just one chapter, and we're going to read verse 10 to verse 19. And this is Paul writing to Philemon. And in this letter to Philemon, he tells Philemon about how he wants him to deal with Onesimus. Onesimus is a runaway slave, right? He's an employee that left his employer prematurely. And I'm sure because Philemon was a good man that loved God. He was wealthy. He was the head of the church and a wealthy business. I'm sure he took good care of his employees. But this happened. And so in Philemon, verse 8, he says this, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus, I beseech you for my son Onesimus, which I have begotten in my bonds." So he begins to talk about to Philemon about his employee that's run away or that's left his position early. He said, "Which in time past was to you unprofitable, but now who's profitable to you and to me?" You know, it seems like with employees, it takes a while to get them where they need to be to do their job. And it's very disappointing when you finally get somewhere where it's finally good and then they run off. He says he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable to you and to me, whom I've sent again. You therefore receive him that is my own from my own heart. For I would have retained him with me, that is in your stead he might have ministered to me while in the bonds of the gospel. So Paul's in prison and he's writing these letters, and Paul said, listen, Paul's in prison for preaching the gospel. He said, listen, I would have kept him with me, but I'm not going to take advantage of your employee unless I have permission from you first. So if I don't have permission from you first, I'm not going to be using your employee in this situation. But he said, I would have kept him with me, but without your mind, I would do nothing that would benefit would not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. In other words, I want you to be on board if you're going to let your employee work for me. For perhaps he departed for a season that you should receive him forever. Paul said, listen, he ran off. He quit his position early, but I want you to receive him. Now, not as a servant, not as a slave, not as an employee, but I want you to receive him above a servant, a beloved brother. Paul calls him a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? He's a brother to you in the flesh, and he's a brother in the Lord. If you count me, therefore, a partner, listen to Paul. If you count me a partner, receive him as myself. You receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. You know what Paul says? He says, listen, I'll pay the bill. Now, I've recently had the Lord minister some things to me. And he said, listen, Lawson, I know you invested a lot. I know you've done a lot. I know you've helped these people. And I know it hurts. But he says, I've done more for you than you did for them. So you let it go. In fact, I was so hurt by a situation, I went to talk to one of my mentors. And you know, because some people around me say, you need to quit investing in people like that. You need to quit caring for people like that. You need to quit loving people like that. You need to quit doing things for people like that. And you know what my mentor told me, and my brother told me, no, you need to keep investing in people. You need to keep loving people. You need to keep helping people. And you know what? Sometimes they're going to betray you. Sometimes it's going to hurt, or sometimes maybe they didn't betray you, but you felt betrayed. But you still need to keep loving them. You still need to keep serving people, and you still need to keep helping people, because that's who God is, and that's what God does. So Paul says, this is what I want you to know. He says, if he's wronged you or owes you, put that on my account. In other words, Paul said, you know what? If he's treated you wrong and he owes you, you let that go. You let that go. Put it on my account, and I'm going to take care of it. God says, so if they've wronged you and they've done something to you, I want you to let that go. Some of you need to let some things go. You know, we got a letter from somebody in California the other day, and they were all worked up, and they were angry about a person, you know, who has a ministry there in California who they felt like had wronged them. And to tell you the truth, it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a little bit over a year ago, and they were writing about these instances. And so I told my assistant, I said, I want you to write them, and I want you to tell them this is over a year old. Tell them to let it go. And Tanya had a scripture, and she gave them this scripture, and it really ministered to them. And then they wrote back and said, thank you. That really ministered to me. Praise God. But, you know, I can give you some good advice. If you've been in the church very long, you've had opportunity to be offended. You've had opportunity, right, to get angry. Let it go. Forgive. Forgive. Let it go. You see, Jesus said this, if any of you has aught against anyone, if you have any little thing against anyone, you forgive them. You forgive them that God might forgive you. You want to release God in your life? Forgive. You want to have problems? Don't forgive. Let bitterness rise up in your heart. Let bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and strife and resentment rise up in your heart. It will shut off the flow of God. It will shut off the blessing of God. Some of you think somebody's hurt you. Listen, I can tell you stories. Dr. Lester Sumrall told me this. He said, it's amazing that sometimes the people that you really invest in, that you really put a lot into, how, you know what, they just don't get it. And yet other people who don't do anything for, how they will just come and bless you. And that's how it is in the kingdom of God. So if somebody's wronged you, if they've shorted you, if they've done the right thing, if you had somebody working for you and you really invested in them and they ran off and quit their job early, prematurely, you let it go. Amen? If somebody has, if you have ought against anybody, if you have unforgiveness against anybody, any little thing against anybody, let it go, because it's not hurting them. It's hurting you. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt somebody else. So let it go. Say, let it go, Pastor Lawson. Let it go, Pastor. All right. Hallelujah. And what do? You keep loving people. You keep serving people. You keep investing people. Why? Because God is the one who loves the most. God is the one. Jesus is the one who served the most. He's the one who made the greatest investment in humanity. And so you let Jesus live big in you. Now, as we go on through this, he says one more thing. In verse 19, he says this, I, Paul, have written this with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not tell you how you owe even yourself to me. In other words, Paul tells Philemon, I want you to forgive Onesimus. I want you to receive him as a brother. And if anything, you owe yourself to me. So Paul says, Philemon, get over it. Praise God. He's talking strong. It hurts. And I'm telling you, there's people. If you do very much and you serve very many people, there's people that are going to betray you. I don't care if you got a hotline to heaven and you pray to God better than anybody, because even Jesus himself prayed all night to God. And after he prayed all night to God, you can read it in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. He handpicked 12 who he called apostles, and one of them betrayed him. So do you know what? If you serve people, if you invest in people, if you help people, did you know what? They're sometimes going to betray you. They're sometimes going to be hurt you. They're sometimes not going to do the right thing. But let it go. Amen? Because if you don't let it go, you know who it's going to hurt? It's not going to hurt them. It's going to hurt you. Amen? So let it go. Hallelujah. So keep it investing in people. Hallelujah. Keep being good to people. Masters, amen? Masters, he says, give to your servants that was just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Keep investing in people. How can we fulfill our ministry? Invest in people. Number two, continue in prayer. He says this in verse 2-4. Continue in prayer. Watching the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying for us that God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I should speak. He said, you keep praying. And he says, watch in prayer with thanksgiving. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to verse 18. It says this, rejoice evermore. Amen. Ashley, you remember you preached this in my church. Rejoice evermore is a fantastic message. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is always God's will for you to keep rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Keep thanking God. While you're praying, thank God. You know, when you give your child something and they say thank you, what do you want to do? Give them more. When they're respectful, when they honor that, you want to give them more. You want to bless them. When they don't, you know what? Sometimes it's challenging. But he says, keep praying. He says, pray for us that God would open a door of utterance, he says in verse 3. He says, to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in bonds. Pray that God would open. You know, sometimes you need to pray that God will open doors. Sometimes you need to pray that God will close doors. And listen, God opens doors and God closes doors. And if God closes a door, don't try to kick it down. Because you know what? If God closes a door, that means that he has a better one he's going to open. And I've had God open doors in my life, and I've had God close doors in my life. But if God closes a door, you know he's going to open a better one. So if God closes a door, then don't try to kick it down. Don't try to go through it. Don't try to go where God doesn't want you to go. Just thank God that door closed. And you know what? Keep your eyes open for the one that he's going to open. Hallelujah. You know, just 3 years before we came here to Colorado Springs, there was a very large church in Texas that invited us to go down there. And, you know, I was actually already set up to preach, but then they asked me to put my name. Their pastor was resigning. They asked me to put my name in the thing. And I ended up, you know, as a church of over 800, they had their own television network. They had a brand new building. They had all these things, but God told me, don't go. Amen. You know, if God closes a door, then don't try to kick it down. Don't try to go through a door God closed. And you go through the doors that God opens. God closes doors and God opens. In fact, before we came here, Jesus gave me this scripture in Revelation. He says, I have set before you an open door. I had this old 486 computer, you know, old one, slow one. I put it in black and white to come around the screen. I've set before you an open door. Come around there. I've set before you an open door. Praise God. And I prayed that scripture. You know, I also prayed another one, Job chapter 23. This is a fantastic scripture to pray if you don't know exactly, you know God's doing something, you don't know exactly what it is, but you know he's doing something. Job 23 verse 14 says this, for he performs the thing appointed for me and many such things are with him. Everybody says, he performs the things that are appointed for me. You know what? God has divine appointments for you. And many such things are with him. He performs the things. Thank you, Lord, that you are performing the things that are appointed for me. When I first came here to Colorado Springs, you know, we hardly had any people. We were working, we were doing our best. And you know, I went to a conference. And you know, they had all the other people speak that were connected with the organization except for me. But you know what? I went to every service. And I sat there and I was faithful. And I just sat there and I just sat there all week. And you know, it's because the person that was kind of lining up the speakers was jealous of my relationship with the other person. So they left me out. But the day before the last day, the head of the organization said, you're not speaking this week, are you? You're not on the docket. I said, no. He said, that's wrong. He said, that's wrong. He said, you should be speaking here, so you'll speak in my place tomorrow. So now, guess what? It was his meeting. So everybody came to hear him speak because it was his meeting. And even though I'd been left out, now I got promoted. But you know what I did? I went home. I didn't say anything to any of the leadership. I didn't whine. I didn't complain. I didn't cry. I went home to my prayer closet. My prayer closet was my living room, my dining room, and my kitchen. Praise God, they went the length of my house, and I walked back and forth 60 feet. Hallelujah, I walked back and forth. And I prayed to God. And I said, God, if you want me to play, I want you to put me in the game. If you want me to be on the bench, I'm happy to be on the bench. If you want me on the game, you put me in the game. If you want me on the bench, I'm happy to sit on the bench. And I prayed this scripture, for he performs the things that are appointed for me, and many such things are with him. So there are people that will try to keep you out of places, of relationships, of different things that God has for you, but he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Paul says, I want you to pray for me. Watch the same in Thanksgiving. And that God would open for us a door of utterance. Amen? That we would know what to speak. So sometimes we need to know what to speak. The mystery of Christ for which I'm in bonds. That I might make it manifest as I should. You know, we need to keep praying. When the disciples saw Jesus pray in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. You see, because they had Pharisees, they had seen religious prayer, but when Jesus prayed, there was something about his prayer that motivated the disciples to want to pray. And Jesus said, pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven. In other words, we're praying. We have a relationship with God who is our Father, and he's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Pray in agreement with his name. What is his name? He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our peace. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. And he is the Lord who's there. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, what's the will of God? Is there sickness in heaven? Hallelujah. No sickness there. Is there poverty in heaven? So don't pray stupid prayers like, just give me a trailer house in heaven, because there's not going to be one. I lived in them the whole first part of my life. And if you live in a trailer house, God loves you. But listen, God has better. Yes. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. You know why people don't like Jesse Duplantis' house? Because they don't like their house. Come on. Amen. It's not a problem with Jesse's house. It's a problem with their house. Amen. So quit being jealous and rejoice if God blesses somebody with something and start believing God and thanking God, and God will give you something. Hallelujah. That's a good word for somebody. Okay. Hallelujah. So he says, pray. Keep praying for us. Pray like this. Pray out of a relationship with God. Watch. You see, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may. Watch out. Why? The devil wants to take you out. He wants to take you out, but you can stop him. You can stop him. How do you stop? Just be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, amen, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. So you resist bitterness. You resist resentment. You resist unforgiveness. You resist it steadfast in the faith. Praise God and move into what God has for you. Pray for me that I should make this message manifest as I should. I love what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says this. He says, I exhort, first of all, that prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a peaceable life in all godliness and all honesty. I want you to keep praying for people. So how can we fulfill our ministry? Number one. How can we fulfill our ministry? Number one, keep investing in people. Number two, keep praying. Keep seeking God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Number three, walk in wisdom. Look at this, starting in verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are without, redeeming the time. You need to be wise, right? The Bible says this in Matthew 10, verse 16. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Walk in wisdom. You want to fulfill your ministry? Walk in wisdom. Turn back with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to verse 18, it says this. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does it mean to walk circumspectly? See, the Jews had a covenant with God, right? And the males were circumcised. And it was part of their covenant with God. Paul says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Walk circumspectly. What? That means walk like you have a covenant with God. When a Jewish person saw that circumcision meant to them, I have a covenant with God. Walk like you have a covenant with God. Circumcision meant that you're marked out by God. Say, I'm marked out by God. The third thing it meant to them is I have a destiny. So walk like somebody who has a covenant with God, who's marked out by God, who has a destiny. See, sometimes people forget that they have a destiny. Don't forget that you have a destiny. You were darkness, but you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He says that in verse 8. But he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, buying up the time because the days are evil. You see, the days that we live in are evil. Because of that, we need to buy up the time, redeeming the time, buying up the time because the days are evil. See, you can get so involved in good. You can get so involved doing the will of God that you don't have time to get involved in a lot of other junk. Amen? See, the Bible says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. He says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Get so involved doing the will of God that you don't have a lot of time to get involved in a lot of other stuff. And don't get drunk with wine where there's excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, you know what? Somebody's got to get going to get drunk. They got to keep drinking. So he says, keep being filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep drinking. Amen. Keep drinking at the well. Keep praying in the Spirit. Amen. Walk in wisdom. Be wise. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So how can we fulfill the ministry God's given to us? Number one, keep investing in people. Number two, keep praying. Number three, walk in wisdom. You need wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, get wisdom and get understanding. Forsake it not. Wisdom will promote you. Wisdom will bring you to honor. Wisdom will bring blessing to you. You need wisdom. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. How do you get wisdom? You get wisdom in the Word. You get wisdom from the Holy Ghost. You get wisdom from wise counsel. Amen? Thank God we have, everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. So we have, he says, walk in wisdom towards those who are without. Now, in 1 Timothy 3, verse 7, Paul's writing, Timothy's talking about qualification for bishops or overseers in the church. And he says they must have a good report of those who are without, on the outside. What's this mean to have a good report? How do we fulfill our ministry? Keep a good report with those on the outside. In other words, pay your bills. Some people can't do the will of God because they're so caught up in debt or different things. They've just been foolish. Now, you can pray and ask God, and he'll have mercy, and he'll give you ways and miracles and help you get out of that mess. But you know what? You need wisdom. Praise God. Wisdom. So keep investing in people. Keep praying. Walk in wisdom. Finally, he says this in verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Speak words of life. Speak words of blessing. Your words have power. Solomon said this in Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Amen. You want to have good things happen in your life? Keep speaking words of life. My mother had this over our kitchen sink in our trailer house. It said, be careful of the words you speak. Keep them soft and sweet. You never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat. Amen? So be careful of the word. Guard the words of your mouth. Guard the words. Speak words of love. Speak words of grace. Speak words of life. James says it's wrong for you to be blessing God and cursing people. It's wrong. He says, this should not be, my brethren. But he tells us before that our words are like a spark that sets on fire the course of nature. Your words direct the course of nature. You can change the course of nature. You can change the way that your life is going by the words that you speak. Speak words of life. Speak words of love. Speak words of faith. I love what Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to verse 24. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice it talks about saying three times and believing once. Because if you're really believing, you're going to be speaking. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. What do you want when you pray? When you pray, what do you want? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, what things do you desire? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I love Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. How many of you want to be prosperous? How many of you want to be very successful? You want to have good success. Now I'm going to define success for you. Because this is how I define success. Success is how successful you make other people. So you know what? I'm a good husband if I make my wife successful. I'm a good father if I make my children successful. I'm a good pastor if I make my church successful. I'm a good Bible school teacher if I make the students that I teach successful. Praise God. That's how I define success, because the more successful you make other people, the more successful you really are. I was talking to an artist one time, and he was a very good artist, but he was discouraged. And the reason that he was discouraged is one of his students had gone farther than him, been noted more and done more. I hope all of my students go farther than me. I hope my children go farther than me. I hope they do more than me. I hope they make more money than me. I hope they win more people to Christ than I do. You know what? I hope this happens not only with my natural children, but with my spiritual children. I hope that I help more people. In other words, I want to bless other people, because the more that you bless other people, the more that you really are blessed. This is the reason that God blessed us, is so that you could be a... God told Abraham, listen, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you want to be prosperous, right? Joshua 1 verse 8. Remember this verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate thereon. Keep meditating the Word of God. Keep believing the Word of God. Keep speaking the Word of God. Keep acting on the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein both day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Keep meditating the word. Keep believing the word. Keep speaking the word. Keep acting on the word, and you will have good success. Keep speaking words of life. Be careful of the words you speak. Keep them soft and sweet. You never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat. Amen. Finally, how can we fulfill our ministry? Invest in people, keep praying, walk in wisdom, speak words of grace, speak words of life, speak words of love. Ephesians says, let it, you know, you can read it, always be good and filled with grace and filled with love that it might minister grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4, verse 28 to verse 32. Finally, he says, be part of a team. And I love something Aaron said, fantastic. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, take a team. Because you can do more together than you can do alone. Be part of the team. You know what I'm working on doing? I'm working at this church on building the greatest team that we've ever had. Because if you want to go fast, you can go alone. If you want to go far, you go as a team. Be part of a team. So he talks about the team. And we'll go really quickly. I'm sorry I preached longer than I thought here today. He says, all my state shall Tychius declare to you, who is a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord, fellow servant. Tychius, he's a brother. He's faithful. He's a fellow servant whom I've sent to you for the same purpose that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, this runaway slave, this employee that left his position early, left his job early, he says he's faithful and beloved brother who's one of you. They will make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus is my fellow prisoner. He salutes you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come to you, receive him. Jesus, who's called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Thank God for people. You know, some people may betray you, but there's people that are still there. And it's like Dr. Sumrall said, you know, some, you may do a lot for them and they don't respect it. But there's other people maybe you've hardly done anything for, and they love you and they bless you and they help you. So just, you know, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let go of the things that hurt you. Amen. Thank God for the ones that help you. Amen. And keep growing in your relationship with God and keep loving people. Hallelujah. He says, Epaphras, he's one of you. He's a servant of Christ. Salutes you. He's always laboring for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you. And those that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis, how do you say that? I messed it all up. Amen. These guys love you. Amen. They're praying for you. He says, Luke, the beloved physician. Amen. I would say today, Tom, the beloved physician, Dr. Tom Henderson here. He's a great friend to me. He's a beloved man to me. And Demas, they greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. When this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read in the church of the Laodiceans that likewise read it in the epistle from Laodicea. You know, when we started the church here, talking about house churches, we started in a house, but we didn't stay there very long. You know why? Because we outgrew it. Amen? And so I'm not against churches starting in houses, but you know, as they grow, they ought to outgrow it. They ought to get bigger. Praise God. It shouldn't just be a little bless me club. Amen? We ought to reach out and reach the world with the love of Jesus. He says, salute these people. When we started this church, we started in a house over in Mountain Shadows. Greg Trout was here. Greg Trout grew up in my church in Kit Carson. He told me before God spoke to me to come here and start a church, he said, Pastor, if you'll come anywhere within 60 miles of this town and start a church, I'll come. Praise God. Well, he helped me start. He got married. Barbara said the church doubled. Glory to God. Amen. He helped me start, and he's still here 20 years later. Glory to God. Thank God for people that are faithful. Thank God for people that continue. Thank God for people that hold on. So he says, these people that help, and we started, Greg rented a room in a house in Mountain Shadows. So we had Bible studies in that house in Mountain Shadows. Then in a little bit, we moved over to Andrew Wilmot Ministries over off of Bott Street. Praise God. And then we outgrew that in 18 months. And so we moved across the street to the Community Partnership for Child Development. And about 6 months after we moved in there, Andrew bought the Elkton property, and he invited us to come and bring our church into the Elkton property next to the church that we owned there on Elkton. And we were in there for, 6 years, and then we moved into our own property right next door, praise God. And then we were over there for how many years? We were in that from 2010 to 2018, and we bought this in 2017. Hallelujah. And we just keep moving, and we keep growing, and it keeps getting better. But it started there. After we moved over to Andrew Womack Ministries, our Wednesday nights grew. We were in our house for a while, but we didn't stay there. You know what? We outgrew that. So a Lutheran church rented us their church on Wednesday evening. Praise God. That was over in the southwest part. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank God for relationships. But keep growing. Keep moving forward. Why? Because we want to reach people. He said, cause this epistle to be read in Laodicea. And he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you've received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Amen. How can we fulfill our ministry? Praise God. Keep investing in people. Keep praying. Walk in wisdom. Speak words of life and go with the team. Amen. And you'll do what God's called you to do. How can we do what God's called us to do? Know who Jesus is. Know who you are. Know what he invested in you and know what he called you to do. Paul talks about all those things in the book of Colossians. Amen. Jesus is Lord of heaven, Lord of the earth, Lord of the grave, and he's living on the inside of you. Get to know who he is. Let him live his life big through you and let Jesus through you reach out and love people, because that's what ministry is about, loving and serving people. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.